prayer. Then after that, I'll just kind of summarize what with one passage last week's. Then we'll go on to the other three. Okay, how do we protect God's word in our lives? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those people who are here, for those who are overseas. I pray, Rajun, Asong, keep them safe where they are. I pray that they will find somewhere they can worship today as they put you first. I pray for us as we come before you, Lord, and that we want to learn. Lord, we will be interested in putting you first. And as we have your word embedded both in our hearts and our minds, Lord, it will be a growing experience for us. Lord, we're here to learn. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher. Lord, what I say doesn't matter. What your word says matters in every area. So, Lord, I ask you to bring the people in quickly. For those who are delayed or are delaying, I pray that you hasten them, that they will not miss any of this. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special, special way and teach us, Lord, what it means to grow in your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So anyway, the four elements is devouring the word, protecting the word, separation from the world, and separation from false teachers. Okay, let's just turn to 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me just go through that verse. Alright, I'd like us to pay attention to particular verses because I'd like you to, at the end, there will be an assignment as well so that you can remember the verse better. Alright, but this one I'll use later. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's read together, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Okay? In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter directs this message to the Jewish believers. And they said, and the first thing interesting, the first thing he said, in order to grow in Christ, is wherefore laying aside. You need to put aside. The first step to renovating your life is to put aside. Okay? Of course, you don't renovate. But it's interesting, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in, when we put faith in him, he wants to change our life. The very first thing he does is try to get rid of things first. We've got to get rid of things. We've got to. So this is, therefore, laying aside. And this is interesting. There are two categories of sins. One is outward sins, like gluttony. And gluttony is a sin, by the way. And perhaps stealing. And more and more the physical things, outward. But also the inward, which are sins of the spirit. Talking about pride and malice and hypocrisies, etc. Peter deals with the internal. And the reason why Peter deals with the internal, because the Jews are very aware of the law. And so on the external, they will conform to the law. They will conform to the law. That means they will follow whatever everyone else is doing. If I need to dress nicely, I will. If I need to come to church on time, I will. If I need to do things, I will. But it's a problem with the heart. And for the Jewish people, it's always a problem with the heart. All right? Because Jesus says that these people... worship me with their lips, or rather, they will do things, they will worship God with their lips, but in their hearts, they are far away from God, okay? So, in 1 Peter chapter 2, for those who just came in, 1 Peter 2 verse 1, number 1, in order to grow in Christ, you need to put away, the Bible says malice. Malice is whatever, there's evil things that's inside your heart, against someone usually, okay? Or guile. Guile is things that happen in your heart and as you speak it out as well. Okay, guile. Hypocrisies. That's quite obvious. We say one thing, but we do another thing. We want to show that we are like this, but actually in reality, we are like this. Okay, hypocrisy. We need to put that away. Envies. That means, okay, I'll give you a very, for participation, what's the difference between jealousy and envy? What's the difference between jealousy and envy? Anyone? What's the difference between jealousy and envy? Okay, that's interesting, right? And that's right. The difference between jealousy and envy is jealousy is you get jealous over something that actually belongs to you. For example, I'm jealous of my wife. I'm jealous for the integrity of this church. It's already God has put it under my charge. I'm jealous for it. In other words, I will fight for the purity. Just like God is jealous over his own children. And it wasn't the wrong jealousy, it's the right jealousy because he wants to protect his children. And if his children go and flirt with the world, he's going to come down hard on. And there's one passage in the book of Ezekiel, I believe, that Ezekiel told the prophet, you can correct me, it's just in my mind now, God actually told Ezekiel to tell his people, I'm jealous over you, but I'm not going to spare you when you sin against me. I won't spare you, even though I'm jealous over you. You are mine. That's jealousy. Okay? Example, if let's say I have this pen. Okay, this pen is mine. And everyone, when I know I'm jealous of you, you better don't touch this pen, understand? You touch this pen. And you make sure that person won't have it. Okay? It can be a promotion. It could be something else. Okay? But envy is when you don't have it. You don't have it. Like, for example, I wish I had that condo. That's envy. Oh, wow. I wish that person, how come that person, how come he have the condo I don't have? That kind of thing. It doesn't belong to you. That's envy. You get envious of, oh, why that person have $1 million? In fact, envy is a very big sin in the Bible. Okay? And Paul said, Peter says to put it away. Okay, when you put that away, and all evil speaking, when you speak evil of other people with intention to injure their reputation. After you put it away, then you need to desire the sincere milk of the word. You need to desire the sincere milk of the word. As a believer reveals the word of God, he must also be laying aside sin. I'd like to emphasize that. When you hear the word of God, you must also be actively putting away sin. If not, the word of God will not bear fruit in your life. Why? Because there are things choking it. Okay, after this we talk about how to protect the word. Okay? We have to put away in order for things to come in. That's why before the farmer actually plants the seed, he has to plow it. He has to get rid of weeds. He has to deal with things first until everything sui-sui already. For a carpenter, for example, before he actually paints, he will actually use sandpaper to make sure the whole piece of wood is smooth before he actually paints the coat of paint across. Okay, different super glue as well. They say make sure your surfaces are clean before you put the super glue on, because all those things that are there can actually dislodge if you actually put something heavy on it. Does that make sense? We have to get rid of sin. Sin is a reproach to any people, okay? So in order for you to have the word of God, you're going to get rid of sin, all right? A dusty Bible indicates a dirty heart. That means that a Bible not touched means the heart is dirty. Why? You're not using your soap to wash. Okay, one evangelist actually likens the Bible to a spiritual soap. The less you use the soap, the more dirty you get. And that's why believers who don't read the Bible, their heart gets so filled with the things of this world, so filled with sin, that even when they hear preaching, they don't like it. A dusty heart indicates a dusty Bible indicates a dirty heart. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. You know why? Because every time you read the Bible, you'll convict you of sin. I've people who many years ago would say, Pastor John, I won't come to the church. Why? Because I know I come, I'll be convicted. Okay, I know people who are convicted and in the ministry right now because they came to. They actually didn't want to come to church, but they paisei, they came because we keep on inviting them. They came, God convicted them. Their lives changed after that. All right? The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. All right? Get rid of sin. I'd rather have the Bible any day, because the Bible gives you life, it gives you love, it gives you joy, it gives you. If you don't read your Bible, you're destined for a spiritual downfall. I say that very clearly. If you don't read your Bible at all, you're destined for a spiritual downfall. Every decision you make will be based only purely on self. What you selfishly want, what I selfishly want. I'm saying very strong because we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the Bible. All right? We need to devour the word. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verse 9. I think many of us will know this verse. What is Psalm 119 verse 9? Anyone? Brother Johnny, I'm really struggling in my Christian life. You know, I really find it hard. Psalm 119, verse 9. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How shall a young person clean up his life, basically? How are young people going to clean up his life? But Brother Johnny, I made wrong decisions. Well, how are you going to clean up your life? By taking heed. God's word. It's important for us to understand. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what decisions you've made, God always has the answer, and we just have to follow it. And then you'll come back. You will come back. Okay? There was one time I was in Taiwan, I think I shared before, many, many years ago. We were on a training trip, training in the army. So what happened was we had individual navigation. So in the navigation, because I want to do well in the navigation, it's all individual. So I don't think my mom knows about it. So anyway, I was running and I fell. And in Taiwan, they have this bird traps, okay, bamboo bird traps. Bamboo bird traps, whereby it's made of bamboo. There's something on top to trap birds. So the birds come and eat something, they trap. But this particular bamboo trap was cut. And so it was very sharp. So I fell. And as I fell, it's so amazing. I fell. I happened to just fall onto the tip of this through my nose. It was through my nose. I thought my mom was like, yeah, it's through my nose. She didn't know about it anyway. Through my nose. And so I'm thankful because as I look back, if it goes this way, I'm dead. Okay, but it went this way. So this part of my nose tore. It really tore. I didn't know. So I was in the ravine. I couldn't see anything. The first thing I said, Lord, please help me. I said, okay, the first thing you do, look at your map. It's very hard to look at my map because my map is all blood. But the first thing I said, look at your map. And the first thing in the army is that when you can't see, you always go to high ground, right? That's what I did. I went to high ground. And guess what? When I went to high ground, the ambulance was there. In the military, there's always a safety safety rover. And the Lord was so good. He said, look at your map, go to high ground. And it just so happened when I went up, the ambulance was there. It took me in 10 stitches. I was MC 10 days in Taiwan. But you know, the first thing I did when I was lost, I remembered what my officers taught me. Go to the map, go to high ground. Many Christians, when they fall into a ravine, they don't ever come back to this world. When you don't come back to this word, you will be lost. Okay? So that's why the psalmist David encouraged us, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by paying attention, not by reading only. Reading is just a start. By paying attention, taking heed thereto according to thy word. If you read the rest of the verse, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. In other words, I'm not just half-hearted in this, Lord. I'm not just doing the assignment because Pastor John asked me to go, okay. I do. I hope that's not the attitude. I know that's not it. But tell me that, my whole heart, if I saw the old, let me not wander from thy commandments. Do you know what is wandering? Wandering from the commandments? No one here intends to wander from God's word. Satan knows that. So he'll give you distractions. He'll distract you by many, many things. Yesterday, for those who came for youth, Roger could talk about being distracted. And one of the things mentioned was many things. I mean, it could be the world, your friends. We get a bit distracted. All right? So we get distracted. Let me not wander. In fact, Psalmist David was so aware that he would be wandering from God. He said, God, please don't let me wander from your word. Please. You know? Like children said, please, don't let me. Please. You know? And in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Okay? So, if you're struggling as a Christian, I suggest, personally, I would just say this in a blunt but in a loose way, in a sense that I don't care what's happening in your life. If you really want to get right with God, you get serious with Bible reading and study. I really don't care what's happening. Because if you want to reorientate your life back onto where God is, the only place you'll find God in this world is in this word. And as parents, if we're not in this world, we've got nothing to feed our children. I'm talking about not just one verse a day or one psalm. A lot of people like to read psalms, you know, he encourages us. What about those soldiering principles? What about those being strong? What about those making strong decisions? It's all in here. You know, man, we need to get in here so that we can know what to teach our children. We're not in here, you've got nothing to teach our children. Really. It's just your own philosophy. So, struggling Christians need to get serious with the Bible. Okay, that's devouring the word. Let's move on. The next one, we'll be talking about protecting the word. Okay? For those who came, that was what we did yesterday. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 8, 14. All right, after we deal with Matthew. But Luke 8, 14 talks about the entire process whereby as a believer in Christ, or rather, how we listen to God's word. How we listen to God's word, okay? This is a parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Okay, let's read together, Luke 8, 14. Ready? Luke 8, 14. Ready? 1, 2. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. If you're a believer in Christ, I want you to pay attention to this verse. Okay? It's interesting, the four parable, the parable of the four sowers, every soil heard the word. Every soil heard the word, okay? The sower, what they did last time was they have this bag of seeds and they'll walk and they would grab the seed and they would scatter, okay? Some will fall on the wayside. That's where the farm, you know, sometimes in Malaysia or different countries, even in Taiwan, they will walk, you know, in the Philippines, they'll walk. There's a pathway of the farmer that they would then go to the site to pick the plants and all that. Okay, that's the wayside. Okay? And then there are some on stony ground, some on thorny ground, and some on good ground. Now the principle is all four soils representing the four different types of hearts all heard the word. And I was sitting here, there are four types of people with four types of soils in their hearts. One is when they leave this place, the devil will come and take the seed away. Another one will, yes, I want to do right. And then suddenly, really, I must do this. I cannot, too much for me. Another one will be, yeah, I want to do right. But then this is the verse that says the cares, the pleasures, and the riches of this world say, yeah, I really want to do right, but you know, I got to do this first. I need to do this first. I need to do this first. And the Bible says it brings no fruit to perfection. Your Christian growth depends on how you hear God's word and what you do with it later. If you make decisions contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says you will bring no fruit to fruition. Okay? We're going to consider three things that the Bible talks about. Firstly, verse 14, when they heard, they are choked with the cares of this world. What is the care of this world? What is the cares of this world? What are some of the cares that we go through in this world? Students, what are the cares that you go through in this world? Exams. Okay? Fathers, what are the cares in this world? Huh? What? Bills? Okay, okay. Alright, what else? Mothers, what are the cares in this world? Children. I mean, children and maybe giving the house clean and all that. Okay, what about the rest of us? What are some of your own? Some of us do have personal cares. Can I say this? There's not one person in this room that doesn't have a care. That doesn't have a care. Okay? Doesn't have a care. When you hear God's word, and you put the other things first, the word of God is not going to bear fruit at all. Okay? And the devil knows it. See, the devil knows there are some people who are very serious, so I'll use other things to distract. Jesus made it clear that this, if a believer finds the word is being choked out of his life because of the care of this world, he needs to sit down before God and examine his own situation. And say, Lord, I'm sorry, every time I come to church, I'm thinking of something else. Or every time I go through my letter, there's something else distracting me. In Singapore, we have a lot of cares. We care that the GST 9% is coming next year. Okay? Examinations and tests, all there's a big care for many Singaporeans. We've got to decide whether that care, we can leave it at the cross and trust God with it. Or we have to take our own, we have to say we put that thing aside first, we do this first. When that happens, the heart becomes colder to the things of God. Okay? Sometimes there's no way to avoid a worrisome. Now, there's a difference between things you can control and things you cannot control. Okay? There are some things you cannot control. And those are the things that you say, Lord, give me grace to still put you first. That's patience. Alright? But when we can control the choice and we choose against the word, the fruit's not going to grow. Okay? So that's something that we need to pay attention to. And one thing a believer can always do is to cast your care on Christ. You know, God actually given us promises. In first, for the parents, if you're worried about the bills, what promise did God give you? What promise did God give you? Come on. What promises does God give you? Sorry? Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs. So are you going to trust that, or are you going to trust the fact that you cannot pay your bills? Can I be honest with you? As a family, we go month by month for the last 15 years. It's not easy. I'm thankful for my mom who helps and all that. God will bring the help. Some brethren will give out of the blue as a blessing. But if we can trust God with our eternity, can't we trust God with a monthly $50 or $200, depending on our household size? Can't we trust God with that? Money can always be earned. Your faith in God, once you let it chip, it's very hard to build. And Satan will keep on chipping at that. Okay, I want to challenge us to trust God more. You know, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing by God's word. And you need to build that faith on Christ. Okay, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Some mothers have concerns about your children, about the future. You know what you need to do? Take that care, wrap it up, put it at the cross. Say, Lord, you save me. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know, Lord, you're going to hold my hand. You know, like little Emma, little Noah, you just... You see, both then just come, hello! Like, not a care in the world. Why? You know why? That's childlike faith. We need to come to God and say, hello! Morning, God! You know? We need to have that kind of faith. You know why it gets harder to trust God as we grow older? Because we think we know better. We need to learn to go back to childlike faith. And that's why just taking God as his word. Alright? When reading the Bible, it's wise to have paper and pen down. And when some worry or concern comes to mind, write it down, deal with it later, instead of allowing it to choke God's word out. Okay? So number one is the care of this world. In Luke 8:14, the number two things is the riches of this world. The riches of this world. Okay? There are some people who believe that they need to work. They need to get the money. I'll challenge you, if you're a Christian, God will provide your needs. You put the spiritual things first. The spiritual things must always come first. Can I say that again? Fathers, we need to put spiritual things first. Because otherwise, your children will think spiritual things are not important. I shared this before. One pastor actually did this one time. Family was faithful until one time when his teenage son said, Dad, I got this very important finals I need to be at. And it just clashes with the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And you know, this father, the son, said, okay, I mean, it's a one-off. You know, that particular one act, the child was about 14 years old, but 17, 18 years, 5 years later, the child doesn't go to church. You know, this dad was curious, what happened? And the son was very honored and said, Dad, that night when you let me go, you just proved to me that it wasn't important to you. So it's not important to me now. One act. And that's where we'll talk about the place of repentance. Some decisions we make, sometimes we feel, we must look at the situation. No, we need to look at God's word. We need to look at God's word. I'm convinced, I'm 50 years old. I'm convinced, you know, I've made the kind of decisions before where I look at the situation and realize actually I should have gone by God's word. You go by God's word, you will never go wrong. You may think you go wrong then. You know, Jeremiah, same thing, he was perhaps initially discouraged when he didn't go to the MOE scholarship. I know he was discouraged, I was there. But many months later, God gave him a scholarship that's better, no bond. Which would you prefer? Scholarship with bond or scholarship no bond? Of course, no bond. God takes care of your needs. You know, when he got a scholarship, he blessed our family. He helped us that I don't have to worry about his education for the next 4 years because God takes care of our needs. And now we are praying for the next one and the next one. God takes, you know, God doesn't give you everything. You know why? He wants to want us to learn to trust him each day of the way. But the riches of this world, the Bible says, Luke 8:14, the riches of this world come in choke. People will say, hey, I need to study hard so I can get a good job next time and earn a lot of money. That's a Singaporean mentality. That's not the Bible mentality. You know why? Many of the apostles were very poor. In fact, many of them did nothing. You know, many times, where's their accommodation many times? In prison. But they trusted God. God provided their needs. Okay, don't let the word of God be choked out by the riches of this world. Young people, you're going to have a lot of people come to tell you, you need to take this course because, you know, we are growing in this industry. Nothing wrong with having a career, but you better put that career choice before God. If God is out of your career choice now, He'll be out. For parents, if you don't direct your children to always seek God first in their career choice, in marriage, in everything else, they will not consider God at all. Okay? And it goes by your life. Okay, so then the next one, riches, and then the next one is the pleasures of this life. You know, this YOLO, you know YOLO, right? You only live once, so I can try everything I want first. You know, a lot of people says, I have one friend who told me many times when I challenged her to work with God, it was 30 years ago, he said, Johnny, I'm too young for the kind of narrow lifestyle. I'm too young for the kind of narrow lifestyle. You know, that's God's lifestyle. If you want the pleasures of this world, the world will give you lots of pleasures and things to enjoy yourself with. He will. But when you hear the word of God now, and then some of you young people, after this, you want to go out and play, right? That's pleasures. You will not remember. And every week you come in, you just listen for 1 hour. You go out, you go to your rock music, you go to your friends, you go to different places. No wonder we don't grow. Can I challenge you on that? Can you really challenge you? Some of you already have plans after this. If you do, if it's a pleasure, that's what the devil wants you to do. Take away the word from your life. Okay? So are we point blank? I think young people, the devil wants to give you a lot, so much pleasure, so that you don't concentrate on God's word at all. You know, as I mark some of you actually know God's word. Knowing God's word and letting God's word get into your life is a different thing. Okay? Okay, so the other two basically is the same, alright? Luke covers the entire three areas, alright? That's how we protect the word. Okay, we talked about that. How do you... Just now I talked a little bit about that already. So I'll just turn to a few verses so that we can know what are God's way of dealing with it. All right, maybe Lydia, you turn to 1 John 2:15-17. Maybe Catherine, you turn to 1 Peter 5:7. And Joanna, you turn to Philippians 4:6-7. Okay, Esther Joy, Proverbs 23:5. Then we'll all turn to 1 Timothy 6. And then I think we all know Matthew 6:33. Okay, maybe if Asher, you can turn to Matthew 6:33. Okay, let's read the verses. Okay, these verses are given to you God's solution of how to deal, how to protect the word of God. When you hear the word of God and all these things, the lust of the flesh, the cares of this world, and the riches coming, what do you do? Okay? 1 John 2:15-17. First John says, love not the world. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh means doing what you want. Enjoying yourself. Pleasures. The Bible says, don't love this world. Don't love this world. But you can love this world and enjoy yourself for a short season. But when you take in the wrong things, it becomes part and parcel of your life. And you will miss God's word altogether and God's will. Okay? So love not the world. What are the cares of the world? 1 Peter 5:7. Just now we talked about it, casting all your cares upon Him. Parents, you have cares. Mothers, you have cares. Fathers, you have cares of this world. Children, you have cares of this world. Well, cast your cares on Christ. He'll take care of you. If Jesus can take care of your soul for eternity, I think He can take care of you here. And that's where faith comes in. It doesn't mean you don't study, don't work. But I'm saying in every event, in every situation, you put God first. Okay? Philippians 4:6-7, the cares of this world. Okay, let's turn there, Philippians 4. I know she read it. Let's turn there, Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at the word. What God says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, well, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing means don't be full of cares. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, prayer and supplication means what? By talking to God, by bringing your request to God, with a heart of thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we pray, God, you know, I need this, but, wow, Lord, you know, but we always go into the negatives. You know why? Because our sinful heart will not, it's actually an indication of our unbelief. I say, Lord, I thank you that you are still in charge. You know the situation. But God, please take care of this. I know you can. I'll just wait for a result. You know why I pray? You know why I actually, many times I pray, I thank you for what you're going to do. It's an indication of faith. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. And then when you pray and cast your cares on him, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. This peace of God is different from the peace with God. Peace with God means before you became a Christian, you were enemies with God, right? So when you actually trust Christ as your personal Savior, you have a peace with God, okay? But after you become a Christian and you feel very distressed and anxious about things, God gives his peace of God that helps you to go through the different storms of life. Does that make sense? Do you understand? Joe, you understand the difference? Sure, after you explain to Jeremiah, okay? Just make sure. Okay? All right? Okay. Deceitful, Proverbs 23, verse 5. Okay. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Okay, I think sometimes the reading is a bit soft, but I'll just read again. Proverbs 23, 5. Okay, listen. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. That's it. How many say this reminds you of Lao Fu Zi? You know Lao Fu Zi? Master Q? They always have this dollar note with two wings. Where does it come from? It comes from the Bible. Alright? For they make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle towards heaven. You know, it's very hard to catch an eagle. Bye-bye. The Bible says, don't put your heart on money of this world. Money you can earn. Okay? Faith, when it's destroyed, sometimes you cannot retrieve it. Right, the next one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says. Okay, what does it mean? Seek it first, the kingdom of God. In modern day teaching, people have always said, make God the first priority. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek it first, the kingdom of God. What is important to God? First. Does that make sense? It's very different by putting priority. Because once you take the lesson, oh, I need to set my priorities right. Oh, yeah, God first. And no, God says, my kingdom comes first. And everything that is right in my eyes comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything that Jesus teach and his righteousness. Not just setting priorities. Oh yeah, we have to prioritize God. God is not a priority. God is the priority. That's what he's saying here. Everything that's from the heavenly kingdom that's come down to earth, it must be our priority. And I'm sad that church is not a very important priority to many Christians nowadays. But you know what church is? Do you know Jesus attends Sunday school and attends service and attends youth and attends a prayer meeting every single time? Because he promised when two or three, I get that I'm there. When the Savior of our soul attends this thing, does it make sense for us who love him to be here too? Think about that. I believe it's a strong disrespect to the Lord when we miss, when he's there. But you know what? Put that aside. You come back to Matthew 6:33. How do you deal with the deceitful of riches? Put God first. And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus was dealing with a group of people who cannot even find enough to eat. Cannot even find enough to eat. They were very poor. Remember Jesus says, don't consider what you will eat, what you will drink. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6? These people were so poor. And Jesus was telling these people, No matter how poor you are, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. But put your priority, number one heart, on what God says and what is important to Him. And then He says, all these things will be added unto you. Okay? And it's important for us to put that priority right. Okay, let's move on further. Okay, separation from the world. Okay, devour the word. You need to be in the word. Number two principle is protect the word. When you hear the word of God, if there's lust of the flesh, if there's cares of this world, if there's this world riches, by God's grace, put them away. Use those verses. The next one is to separate from the world. Okay, let's turn to two passages. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 first. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Let me just read, all right? For time, I'll just read. But you go to the Bible, look at the passage. We are in our service, we're dealing with the whole book of Romans. We will come to this. I'll expound more then. But I'll just read. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So in chapter 12, verse 1, it is the first part of the practical expression of the gospel. And Paul tells the people, I beg you, brethren, having understood salvation, having understood the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Presenting your bodies has to do, last time I used to think, only present bodies. Actually, no. Once you present your body, you know what you're presenting? You're presenting to God your outward, your heart and your mind. The bodies is the whole thing. When in the Old Testament, when they present the sacrifice, it's the entire an entire animal. In other words, the animal dies. Okay? The life is taken out. When Paul says, give your life as a living sacrifice, he's saying, you know, living sacrifices have a problem. They tend to run off the altar sometimes. Living sacrifice also indicate it must be a daily offering. It has to be daily. But no, there must be a one-time act that says, I will offer my life as a living sacrifice. And the Bible says, it's just your reasonable service. This is something that you should be doing anyway because of what God has done for you. You know, Paul is very logical. If Jesus Christ saved me from death and eternal damnation, the only logical thing I can do is to serve Him in my life. Right? The only logical thing is to serve Him in my life. And for some of you, when people have done something very nice to you or really help you, you will forever be grateful to that person. Agree? That's what Paul means. It is your reasonable service, least for tang rang wan. It's a logical thing that you would want to love that person because of what he's done for you. You know, Christians, that's why the verse 1 Samuel 12, 24 is very precious to me. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, or consider what great things He's done for you. Memorize that verse for your own life. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Okay? But notice the second one. Verse, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You need to separate from the world. You need to separate from this world. Why? Because this world have many things. Another thing that is necessary for spiritual growth and victory is to separate from evil. The Bible warns that evil communications will corrupt good manners. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Okay, Asher, come. Let me borrow you for a while. Okay, well, I suppose you can see. Okay, Asher is a strong Christian. Okay, go over there. No, stand on the chair. Okay, he's a strong Christian. Try to lift me up. It's not going to hurt. I'm a non-believer. Right? I'm a non-believer. Let's hear. Okay, Joseph. Not Joseph. Joshua. I need your help. Because you're smaller than me. Okay? He's going to try to pull you down, but you try to stay up there. Try. Just pull him down. Go. Just really get him down. Go. Get him down. With all your might. He may be resisting, it's just a matter of time. 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 You know why? There are two things against him. One, Joshua is already pulling. You know what's the second thing that is against Asher? Gravity. Gravity. Gravity will represent your flesh. Your flesh always pulls you down. When your spirit always wants to go up, then with the these people always wants to pull you down with rock music, with different things. And after a while, here and here, guess who will win? Unless if you're a strong Christian, you won't even be mixing with people like that. I'm not saying don't be friends with non-believers. I'm saying you better be careful who your best friend is. Okay? I'll give you some examples of this. Evil communications, what you see, TV, literature, internet, you need to cut off. Last time I used to believe the computers are from the devil. Last time I used to believe that. Honestly, 1981. I honestly believe. Until I had to do my assignments. Okay? Computers are a tool. Satan knows how to use that tool. 90% to 95% on things on the internet is trash. Fake news. Wrong news, dirty news, pictures that young people shouldn't be looking at anyway. Where do you get your Korean drama from? The filthy romantic stories. It's filthy, by the way. It's filthy. Many of it is filthy. Where did it come from? You know who controls this world? And so a lot of the internet things, I'm not saying internet is wrong. You do it for research and all that. Esther Joy does for research, but he always asks permission first and we make sure that we know what she's looking out for. Okay? Love for this world. Let me just show you this. I'm going to show you this. Okay? This is for Brian Snyder. Those who know Brian Snyder. Brian Snyder used to work with Bra Club in helping manage his website. Okay? I'm going to download his two. There's two sections that he actually dealt with the battle for your child's mind. All right, some of the images might look a little bit hideous, and I was actually contemplating whether or not to actually use it. But many of us will probably be exposed to it already. How many of you watch Marvel? Honest, Marvel. Okay, we're going to see what are the satanic influence even behind Marvel comics. All right, and Brian Snyder. He's a Christian, he's an Independent Baptist, he carefully breaks it down and teaches us what the devil actually does.
We talked a little bit here about the power of images, but what happens when you start combining these images with other elements? You ramp up the power of that stuff exponentially. Let's add the rest of the elements of a modern $250 million movie just to kind of break it down and see what we're talking about. First, you start with these powerful images that for a kid, you just are immediately drawn into that. And then you add a fantastic storyline where nothing is impossible. Next to that, you add in a driving music soundtrack. We've already talked about the power of music and how it can influence you and move you in ways that are not right. And a lot of these movies use either rock music or what they would call epic music. I'll play you a little bit right here. It's not really rock, but it's powerful music. And so you add those things together. And then here's the kicker. You add a sexual element, a superhero girl in a skin-tight leotard. Or something like that. And I'm going to tell you, guys are deeply affected by that. You put your kid in front of a superhero movie, you're very foolish. Because guys, well, I just take my word for it, deeply affected by it. And on top of all this, you have very intense action and violence. That's a very powerful cocktail to be feeding to an adolescent kid, especially a guy. And don't forget adolescent guys. This is the following comment here was posted by a millennial age missionary serving on the field after he watched the trailer for a recent superhero movie. He said, "I just salivated on my keyboard and wet my pants at the same time." That's a missionary who's out in the field serving the Lord. Well, you say, well, what's wrong with that? See, he can watch superhero movies if he wants to. Well, he hadn't seen the movie. He just watched the trailer. He didn't know how much profanity's in it. He doesn't know how much sex is in it. He doesn't know how much inappropriate material in it. But yet he has pre-endorsed that to every single person that he's trying to win to the Lord, that's coming to his church, that he's got influence in their lives. Is that right? I don't think it's right. And what I see today is that Facebook and all these other social media outlets are filled up with young fundamentalists who know a lot more about Star Wars than they do about separation. I just see that today. And that's a bad place to be for us.
You know why I'll be very clear with you as a pastor. Marvel comics are out for Christians. Why? Because of what he just mentioned. Satan is so smart to put all these worldly things that people say is okay. And at the end, you know, Satan is not aiming for one or two, he's aiming for the mass. And he knows what makes people click. And he gives you music, he puts all the perversion inside as a whole package. And then he gives a very action, very exciting story that the superhero always wins. And so, in our minds, you know why he can get to us? Because the moment we enjoy watching it, we've lost the game. I say again, the moment you enjoy, the moment you, hey, it's okay, wow, it's good, it's, wow, you see, Captain America dies. Oh, I heard the next one. Is it the next one? Captain America already died. Some of you are smiling already. Right? Last time Captain America got shield, now no more shield, I don't know why. And he's going to die in the next one. But yeah, I'm not going to watch. Please don't go and watch, okay? I don't know what's going to happen. But you know, the moment, young people, listen, the moment you get past, should I do versus I enjoy it, you've lost the game. Parents, if you enjoy Marvel Comics, you better step back because your children are saying whatever you agree, that means it's okay for me. And when your children are 17, 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, and they don't want to come to church because there's a Marvel comic, it all started with us. Satan is trying to trap the next generation. You know why some young people, you young people are not interested in the Bible? That's what's happening. You need to separate from evil influences. Your handphone is the most evil influence, especially when your parents is not around. And I'm saying this not because of that, because many of you, how many of you actually read your Bible on a regular basis? I'm serious. We cannot have a strong church who loves God's word and we are filled with the cares of this world, the pleasures of this world, the deceitfulness of this world. We think Sunday Bible hour is not important. And we just kind of take it easy. Some people don't even think about that. And Satan just drums you with all these kind of things. You know, Satan has two very powerful forces at work to destroy every Christian here. Number one, don't read your Bible. Number two, give you all the distraction. Number three, when you walk in here, you're not interested. Done deal. He's won. 3 years or 4 years from now, some of you will no longer be in church. I say that prophetically. I'm not a prophet. But based on what you're doing now, with tears in my eyes, I'm telling you that if you don't give your heart to Jesus now, your future looks very bleak. Very, very bleak. If you go ahead and enjoy the things, I don't believe that you're here. I believe you're here because God wants you to be here to hear this. We need to separate from the things of this world. We're losing a whole generation. A lot of things. Some of you will lose your children. Because we don't take this seriously. Some of you, personally, you will make certain decisions in your life that will be contrary to God's word, that will make you sink. I say this with care. That's why we need the word of God. That's why we need God's word. That's why we need to be in the word. That's why you need to do your assignments. Do you do assignments? We need to be doing assignments. Why? I've got to read through all this because I want to. I want to see where you're at. I want to see what is your Bible. Even if you haven't started, hopefully by just copying up the verses, it will help you to get started into the Word. But if you're not into the Word, you have no defense. Fathers, academic subjects is not going to protect your children from the influences of this world. The Bible will. And children, even if your dad or mom don't tell you, you get into the Bible and you read it because that is your only defense against the world. All right? Okay? I'm serious about this. That's why when we talk about the children's ministry and the youth ministry, we're going to take a very serious stand because we're losing too many people. Not because we're losing them to the devil and to the world. And I want us as a church, those fathers, to take it seriously that I'm going to protect my children spiritually. I'm not talking about protect them means, well, everything also block them. No, you can't do that. Do you know the fathers, you know the best way of protecting your children? Your example. That you put God first in every situation. That your decision making is always based on the Bible. That's the only defense you have. In my family, we struggle too. But I believe one thing. If fathers, you put your focus primarily on Christ and His kingdom and His word and His will, your children, no matter how hard they fight, you will follow because the Holy Spirit is going to help you because you're on His side. You're not going to lose. You can't lose. If Jesus is on your side, you can't lose. But if you're going to vacillate versus the things of this world, then you're in for a very hard fight, okay? So the last one, I just quickly finish off. In Romans chapter 16, let's turn there. Romans 16. For those who just came in, we saw a video of how the world uses Marvel comics, videos, movies to entice and basically get the people to love the things of this world. Okay? In Romans 16, 17. Let me just read that. Now, I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have heard, and avoid them. For they that such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own bellies. And by good works and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. Next thing we need to do in order to make sure we are loving God's word, God instructs His people to mark and avoid those who teach things contrary to the Bible. Okay? In Titus chapter 3, verse 9-11, Paul tells Titus, okay, that he must stay away from heretics. This refers to false teachers who refuse to submit to the truth. Paul warned that heretics ask foolish questions. This refers to insincere questions. They are not asking for answers. They are asking to subvert. They are asking questions to prove they are right so that the other person looks wrong. And it actually stumbles the other younger believer. Example, Jehovah's Witnesses like to always do that. But let's look at Romans 16, 17. Paul says, I beg of you, identify these people that will cause divisions that will be contrary to the doctrines you have heard and avoid them. All right? Why? Because they that are such, they don't serve the Lord Jesus. They ask questions not to honor Christ, not to learn. But they serve their own bellies, what they selfishly. What's their agenda? Okay? And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the heart of those who are simple. We need to separate from false teachers, means to separate from their churches, their Bible studies, their books, the television and radio programs, and whatever audio video recordings. Alright? Some people say, no, Brother Johnny, I listen to some things. You better be reading your Bibles on a consistent, regular basis before you start listening to all this. I can tell you very good, sincere Christians who may not be very strong in the Word have been deceived by a lot of these so-called preachers. Okay? So, any questions? We're talking about four key elements of growing in Christ. Okay, let me just go back to maybe the introduction. I just highlight the four. These elements of Christian growth, you must have. You need to devour the Word. You need to be in the Word. If you haven't started Bible reading, I hope to at least encourage you, use our church bulletin. Behind there are daily readings. Just read them as a start. Just read them as a start. You know, then for those who are older, you make sure you're devouring the Word. The older you are as a Christian, the more you should be in the Word. Because you need to be ready to be teaching. All right? You need to be protecting the Word from the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. In Matthew chapter 13, states that when a person hears the Word, but all these things starts coming in to distract you. And then the Word of God doesn't bear fruit. You know, we can pray till the cows come home. Unless we are willing to put away the cares of this world, we put away the pleasures of this world, to put away the deceitfulness of riches, we can pray, oh God, help the thing to grow. God says, I can't help it grow. You've got riches, you've got pleasures, you've got deceitfulness of riches there. You've got to do the job. Can I say, many things in the Bible is a do-it-yourself project. Do it yourself. And I've learned this as a Christian. We can help someone grow in Christ. After a while, you've got to take responsibility. And God wants us to grow from that. Okay? Separation from the world, we talk about Marvel movies, which is anyone who loves Marvel movies is not right with God. I say that. After you've heard this, after you've heard what we have talked about just now, and how our brother Brian Snyder had broken down why, when you look at that there's immoral content, there's a rock music content, there's this, and young people just love it. And if you watch that and you enjoy it, you know what? Your heart is given over to it already. Once your heart is given over to it, you're gone. That's why in our church, we will not have Avengers. We will not have Avengers. We can't if you want to be holy towards the Lord. Okay? Yeah, I'm making a stand. I'm making a strong stand. And the reason why I have to make the stand is because your spiritual life is at stake. Some of you love Avengers. But I'm telling you from God's word, if you don't guard your heart, you won't be serving God very soon. Or you can pretend to serve God. You know how? Outside, you will do, a lot of people will do. But you go home and watch Avengers. You know what God's going to tell you? Get rid of this. If you want your service to be holy, deal with the worldliness that's here. Last one, you need to separate from false teachers. Okay? I mean, please understand this. I care for your soul. I hope you do too. Some meats in this world you can't eat. How many of you recently saw this sardines? I think it's sardines, right? From China. That was actually imported into Indonesia. And when you open up, there are literally thousands of micro worms inside. I can't take that anymore. Last time I used to be able to write cool, but I can't take that anymore. You know, you see a lot. You know, I'm going to tell you, otherwise it was kind of make you cringy. What would you do with this kind of sardines? Would you feed it to your children? No way. In fact, thankfully, Indonesia's health say will block all this, take away all that. Why? They want to protect the population. But I love sardines. Yeah, I'll go get another brand, you know. It's full of worms. Really, when it opens, it's like, ugh. My wife saw it, like, ugh. Don't eat sardines with worms. Don't serve God with worms. Get rid of things that will slow down your service, all right? That's a word of prayer, okay? That's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the patience of your people who have sat in, who have listened. Oh, Lord, separation from this world is such an important teaching. And Lord, help it. Help us to make it so clear in our hearts and mind. Lord, I pray for everyone who is here, who is listening, that Lord, they will start taking your word seriously. They will devour your word. They will protect your word. Yes, Lord, sometimes things in life get really stressful, get really pressurizing. But help them, like Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy words were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord. Lord, because we are called by thy name, I pray all of us would love your word and that, Lord, will not let anything stop us or hinder us from having your word in our lives. So thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you bless service to follow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.